have the great pleasure of introducing to you today Mr. Trayvon Airy Turner.
Can I yeah. see you? Yeah, get in there. Thank you.
And I just learned yesterday he has a really cool middle name, Trayvon Jazz Airy Turner. Right, you mom. So good. Whenever Jordan goes away, he's been training up a whole horde of awesome young leaders in our Blue Water Leaders Academy, otherwise known as Blah. So he's one of our Blah kids, could not be happier to have Trey and his lovely wife, Kira, as part of Blue Water. Here's a little bio that Trey asked me to read. Trey and his wife, Kira, moved here from Seattle to join in with the Blue Water community and the Tri Houses this January. Trey is a basketball coach at Hoops for Christ and a member of our Blue Water Leadership Academy. He is the best spike ball player in our community. And his jokes are always funny. All right. Yeah. Well, that said, let's pray for him, guys.
Yeah.
All right, come on. All right. Oh, Lord, we just thank you for Trey. We pray you set the room on fire now. We invite your presence. We invite that everything that you have to give through him would come. And we pray, Lord, for hearts that are ready to be set aflame. Every place in our heart that's a little sluggish right now, we say, wake up, get ready to receive the word of the Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. All right. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Awesome. Good morning. Before I get started, I wanted to address the elephant in the room, because I know some of you guys are thinking, who let the 16-year-old up there with the mic? I'll have you know I turned 28 on Friday, so. yeah, there's some wisdom in these old bones. I'm Trayvon. If I haven't met you guys, Pastor Sonia said, me and my wife Kira moved out here in January, and I just wanted to take this opportunity to just thank this community so much, because you guys have welcomed us in with open arms. So many of you guys have had long conversations over meals with us and have poured wisdom into us and just made us feel like family, even though we're still relatively new. So I'm just so grateful for you guys, and I'm excited to be able to share with you some today. Okay, let's get started. It wouldn't be a Blue Water sermon if we didn't start with the intro exhortation. So I want you to turn to the person on your right and on your left, and like you mean it, give them a little shove and say, let's do this. Yeah. We need some Blue Water energy. I like it. Good. All right. So let's do this. Let's do this is a phrase that we use quite a bit in the Blue Water Leadership Academy. It's Pastor Jordan's favorite leadership phrase. And the reason why he loves the phrase so much is because let's do this automatically initiates leadership. It invites whoever it is that you're talking to follow some suggestion that you're going to make to them, right? And so for our intro question this morning, I want to invite you guys to lead me a little bit, right? As one of the Blue Water newbies, I am coming to you as Blue Water veterans, and I want you guys to say to me, let's do this, and then fill in the blank with something that I can do to take a step into Blue Water culture, right, into the Blue Water family. So I want you to think about some of the quintessential Blue Water things that you might invite a newbie into and give me some invitations. All right, so I'm going to give you 10 seconds. One, because it's a little bit longer of a question, but two, because I want to be a little bit better than Pastor Jordan with the 8 seconds. All right, so 10 seconds. Think about it, and then let's get some invitations. Let's do what Jesus did. Yeah, there's another good Christian answer. I like that. I like that. Let's do what Jesus did. Hopefully any church is talking about let's do what Jesus did. That's a good one, Bailey.
Let's do this technology fast.
Okay, yeah, we're definitely big on fasting. I've picked up in this community. There's always opportunities to consecrate ourselves before the Lord with some fasting. That's wonderful, yeah.
Let's do this with alcohol.
Let's do this with alcohol. Wow, some of the new folks in here are like, what's going on? Yeah, for Father's Day, did they do something for Mother's Day too last year? We passed out some beverages to the congregation. Mindy.
Let's do this. Come back on Wednesday evening for our small group.
Oh, that's good. That's good. Yes. Blue Water, very invitational, very big on the Ohana groups. And Mindy leads a wonderful one here on Wednesday night. So that's a great one. Yeah. Let's do this discipleship questions, right? We got some quintessential discipleship questions that I wish I knew off the top of my head, but I haven't been here quite long enough. Robin.
Let's do this. Let's go minister overseas.
Let's go minister overseas. We got a big YWAM crew in here today. This all for the ministering overseas. Yes, we have. Robin is our missions pastor, so that's a very Robin answer and a Blue Water answer also. Awesome. Last one, Lori.
Let's write a name tag.
Let's write a name tag. Yes. We're all about building family at Blue Water, so writing a name tag helps us all to get to know each other's names, deepen relationships a little bit. Those are awesome. So I think what we're all kind of teasing out here is the Blue Water culture, right? There's so many things that we've become used to here that have just become normals. And I think that what's really cool to me about this community is the fact that it's such a strong culture. And when I say a strong culture, I'm not necessarily saying good or bad. I'm not making a value statement as much as speaking to the primary function of a culture, right? Which the primary function of the culture is to be like a current, right? A current that sweeps people up and carries them in a particular direction. And I think that's really strong here, right? If you've been to Blue Water even a couple weeks, you probably are starting to try to heal some people. You might be shoving your neighbors and making fun of your pastors. There's a lot of good stuff going on here. I'm a basketball coach, so I spend a lot of time thinking about culture and group dynamics and different things like that. And one of the things that I'm trying to implement with my teams right now is to build a culture where it's okay for them to make mistakes, right? One of our core values in our program right now is failure is gold, right? Failure is super valuable to us. It gives us lots of opportunities to learn and to keep going, right? In Blue Water language, it might be that I'm trying to develop a culture of try. And I think part of that is in practices is that I'm like a broken record of it's okay to make mistakes. Don't worry about failing. It's all right. Keep going. But it also applies to some of our discipleship times that we do at the end of classes. We all kind of huddle together and have some kind of conversation about Jesus. And this week, actually, I was asking a group about kingdom people. What are some things that people who believe what Jesus said about the kingdom being here, what are some things that they might do in the world? And so this is a younger kind of shyer group. And so they're kind of, you know, still really kept to themselves a lot and trying to, you know, make the perfect answers and things. And so we sit there for a few seconds and nobody says anything. And then eventually one girl speaks up and she goes, I don't know, maybe make sandwiches for our friends. And I thought this was a cool moment because everybody kind of chuckled because they were expecting a more like biblical, religious kind of answer. They still feel like they want to package everything up nice. But it felt like a huge step for this group in developing that culture of try. She felt the freedom to say something that was a little bit outside of the normal boxes she would put together. Now, some of the other groups have a much easier time have a real strong culture because they have some leaders in the group that are not afraid to be silly. They are not afraid to say whatever the first thing that comes to their mind is and even, you know, encourage others, spit it out, whatever it is, right? They carry the culture, right? And this is what makes in those groups the culture particularly strong, right? Because no matter how many times I encourage them to, you know, it's okay to make mistakes, you're safe to mess up here, they embody that message, right? And so they come and they release that safety over everybody else because they make people feel like mistakes are okay. And I think this reveals something that I found to be true about life, which is that a lot of our most impactful lessons that we learn are not, or are demonstrated and not just dictated, right? They're trained, not merely explained, embodied, lived out. And Jesus was a wonderful culture carrier in this way. Today, we're gonna speak on a passage from Luke 5. And just to give you a little context in this story, Jesus is coming off of healing the paralytic man. If you're not super familiar, Jesus has started to gain quite a reputation, right? And so he's preaching in this home, and people have packed in into the front yard and into the home to listen to him preach, to maybe get a taste of this miracle working that they've heard that he does. And so there's a group of young men who come to try to bring their paralyzed friend to Jesus to get some healing. But when they get there, it's packed, right? They can't get through the crowd to Jesus. And so they come up with the idea that they're going to climb up on the roof and tear away the roofing, which probably pissed the owner off quite a bit. But tears the roofing off and lower their paralyzed friend in front of Jesus to see if they can get some healing. And Jesus not only uses this opportunity to heal this paralyzed man, but he also announces that he is a divine minister of forgiveness, right? He uses this opportunity to perform a sign that points to who he is, right? And he embodies this ministry of forgiveness through this miracle of healing this man. And that's where we pick up here in Luke 5. So if you want to open your Bibles, it'll also be up on the screen. We'll pick up in Luke 5, verse 27. This is out of the NIV translation. After this, Jesus went out and saw a tax collector by the name of Levi sitting at his tax booth. "Follow me," Jesus said to him. And Levi got up, left everything, and followed him. Now, this is some important context because the tax collectors are the most hated profession in Jewish society, right? The tax collectors have been partnering with Rome, who are the oppressors of this Jewish community, and they partner with Rome to collect the taxes that Rome is charging, and then they also add a percentage on top in order to enrich themselves, right? And so they're hated because they're seen as partnering with the enemy in order to get rich, right? Picking up in verse 29, it says, "Levi held a great banquet for Jesus at his house, and a large crowd of tax collectors and others were eating with them. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law who belonged to their sect complained to his disciples, 'Why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners?' Jesus answered them, 'It's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance.'" So understandably, the religious leaders are sitting here like, "I thought you were supposed to be a rabbi, right? I thought you were supposed to be a minister, and here you are eating with the most despicable members of our society," right? In today's world, it'd be the ISIS terrorist or the drug lord or the 49ers fans, right? We would have smart. Yeah, go Niners. Right. And serving alcohol, right? The worst of the worst. And so you eating with them is implying friendship, right? This is implying that You guys are on the same page with things. You guys are, the saying goes, what, birds of a feather flock together. What are you doing here with these guys, right? But Jesus has to remind them of what kind of minister he is, right? I'm not the minister you guys are used to, but I'm a minister of forgiveness. I just explained this to you, right? It's one thing for Jesus to claim to be a minister of divine forgiveness. It's another for him to eat and drink and laugh and talk story with the people in their community that had done them the most harm and who were the most undeserving of their forgiveness. Right? He didn't just tell the disciples, forgive them, but he follows his announcement of his divine ministry of forgiveness with the opportunity for them to get some experience. Right? Yeah, so we're going to go to Matt's house. Yeah, IRS Matt. Yep. The one who lives in the mansion off Roman Ave. Yeah, we'll be over there at 7 p.m. Zacchaeus, all them guys, they'll be over there too. Yep. I got a great feeling about this. I think you might want to join our team. This is a great opportunity for us. Right? So Jesus, he's a teacher, but his subject matter is not much like philosophy or algebra. Right? Philosophy or algebra teacher leans heavily into explanation, right? Walks you through detailed proofs and argues logic. Instead, he's more like a dance teacher. A dance teacher says, he says, get up. I got some moves to show you. I want you to step to the right, step to the left. I actually like this one better. Yeah, bam. That's my Jesus right there. Mm-hmm. In the next chapter, Jesus is going to exhort them to love their enemies, and he's going to give them some dance moves, right? He's going to tell them, turn the other cheek, walk the extra mile, pray for those who persecute you. He's going to give them some things that might apply to their real lives, right? I can't give you an exhaustive list of all the rules for all the situations you might find, but I can help you catch the rhythm of the song, right? I can help you dive into the current of the kingdom culture you see me swimming in. That's the culture I want you to bring to the nations. That's the culture that's going to be the light of the world. How often do we treat Sunday morning like a philosophy class, right? Thinking if we can just get all the right information, right? Be filled up with all the right answers, then we'll be changed. Now, don't get me wrong. Kingdom truth is extremely valuable. Extremely valuable, but I would argue that it's woefully insufficient to make us into the people that Jesus has for us to be. A dance teacher who spent a whole class presenting on dance theory would probably have a hard time making great dancers. Pastor Jordan is one of the most incredible teachers that I've ever been around. He is amazing. I leave almost every week inspired and convicted on some thing that I need to be thinking about and doing differently in my life. But to be honest, I rarely remember what he talked about a few weeks ago. Right? I'm just being honest. I rarely do. And it's not a comment on his abilities, right? He's amazing. But I think he would endorse my belief that as transformative as great teaching can be, it can only function as a seed. It can only be an invitation to dance. You know what sermons I remember? They're the ones that got me moving in some direction. Right? I remember the healing services and the Holy Spirit retreat where I, you know, would try to heal somebody both in the service and then go out and try somewhere else. Right, I remember a few months ago he spoke about finding a tent of meeting. And I remember it because it got me way more consistent and recommitted to spending some time in silence in the morning. I remember one message actually before we moved here where he was talking about a community of generosity, how the church and this network of Christian friends that he had was such a community of generosity for him. I remember him saying, that he rarely has 5 digits in his bank account, but he feels like a rich man because he can go anywhere in the world and have somebody open their home to him and invite him for a meal. So immediately I reached out to my Christian friend in Cyprus, like, hey, man, how you doing? You ever need anything? Let me know. I think that's what he was saying. Reach out to your Christian friends in cool places. Practicing the dance moves is what made it real for me. Tangible, memorable. I wasn't changed by the message, but by the movement that the message inspired. That's one of the beauties of this community, is that every message ends with an application point. Pastor Jordan always gives us a dance move to try. That's where the gold is. That's our example to follow when we consider how to share Jesus with our friends and our loved ones. Right? Not just turning a kingdom truth into a logical argument or a thoughtful explanation, but giving them an invitation to come dance. This quote from Ronald Rollheiser has really stuck with me since I read it. It says, if it's true that we're the body of Christ, and it is, then God's presence in the world today depends very much on us. We have to become God's feet, God's hands, feet, mouthpiece, and heart in the world. Now, the one thing I might add to Ronnie Rollheiser's quote here is that we also got to learn how to be his shoulders and his hips, baby. Come on. We got to learn how to catch Jesus's rhythm and show others how to do the same. We got to not just teach his lessons, but embody them. Not just hear God's music, but help people learn to move to it, right? And all of us will dance a little bit differently. Jesus was a first century Jewish Messiah, and we're trying to figure out how to live like him as 21st century firefighters and landscapers and stay-at-home parents. The good news is we serve a living Jesus who wants to help us dance to whatever type of music we find ourselves listening to, whatever real-life circumstances he's placed us in. You may be asking, what does this look like for me? How do I apply this message? Right? Well, at church retreat, we talked about how whenever Jesus calls somebody, he calls them to a purpose in community, right? And in order to move into our purpose, we got to identify our mission. We got to identify some methods for going about it today. And then we need to cultivate some mindsets that will help us get moving. Mission, method, mindset, or what I like to call So I'm going to use myself as a quick example of this for those of you guys who weren't at church retreat or who were maybe needing a little bit of a refresher. So my mission is to help build deeply relational and missional communities that form people into the image of Jesus, right? Deeply relational in that our lives are intertwined, that it's not just here and there that we're getting together, but that we really live in real life together. Missional in the sense that, you know, whatever neighborhood and city we find ourselves in, we want to make it look more like the kingdom of God, right? And forming people into the image of Christ is like that current, right? Hopefully, whatever community I find myself a part of, I'll be able to help push a current that automatically takes people in the direction of Jesus. That's the hope, at least. My method right now in this season of life is learning from people with a lot more experience than me, right? We moved out here in January into the tri houses to live with some people who have lived in community for much longer than us and who have great wisdom and many stories to share with us about living in community. All right, we joined the Blue Water Leadership Academy to sit under Robin and Jordan and not only learn about these kind of communities, but how to lead them, right? How to form culture and how to continue to be ministers of the kingdom. I'm also in school. I'm in a graduate program for Christian spiritual formation and leadership, and I'm learning so much, and that's another kind of method in my life right now. And then so many of you guys have taken the time to have relationship with me, to have long conversations, meals, and all the things like we talked about earlier. And so that's one of the major methods that I'm employing, is just getting around people who are smarter than me. But two, I'm trying to apply myself to particular leadership opportunities that are coming up, right? In the tri houses, every once in a while, there will be an opportunity to lead an event. And with young adults, we have some different things going on that have given me some opportunities to apply some of the leadership skills that I'm learning, right? The opportunity with speaking today is obviously an application of one of the blah leadership opportunities that they give us, and homework we're constantly given. There's just opportunities that are coming up. Even since the church retreat, it feels like there's a momentum to trying to apply the mission method mindset that I was able to identify and get in more clarity as I start to take one step at a time. It feels like doors are just slowly opening up. And we're having a blast. We're having so much fun. It's not out of a sense of duty by any means, but we're dancing, baby. The mindsets that I have to cultivate is, one, that I'm a servant here. I think as somebody drawn towards leadership, sometimes I can get caught up in wanting to change things and lead things. I have to remind myself, stop critiquing and start washing some feet. You're a servant here. I also have to remind myself that I don't need to be perfect. Right? I grew up and I was kind of the golden child in my family and the oldest and kind of all the things. My wife has termed that I am a one on the Enneagram, and I'm not always sure what it means, but apparently those things are connected. And so I have to remind myself what I remind the kids at our basketball program, right? It's okay to make mistakes. It's okay to make mistakes. Keep moving. And then lastly, I have to remind myself that I have nothing to prove. One of the things that most amazes me about Jesus is how self-assured he was in his calling, even though he was much different than what people were expecting him to be, right? He goes into the wilderness with the devil, and the devil gives him all these different opportunities to try to prove who he is, right? If you're really this, do this. When he's up on the cross, the religious leaders are mocking him, saying, "You said you could save all these people. You could tear down the temple in 3 days. If all of this is true, come down from there." And sometimes it's like watching a movie you've seen before for me. I'm like, Jesus, come on, like, get down from the cross, man. Like, prove it to him. But Jesus was so locked in on his purpose, right? He was so locked in on his mission. And even more importantly, he was so rooted in his belovedness before the Father that he had nothing to prove. I don't have to show you who I am. These are some of the mission method and mindset details for me that I've been uncovering over the last couple weeks. This sermon is not meant to shame anyone into serving at Blue Water somehow. Many of the grooviest people at our church are serving in ways that aren't directly connected to Blue Water. But I do think Jesus is inviting all of us into the next step in his dance as it applies to our real lives, right? It might be a formal ministry opportunity. It might not be. Jesus, he preached sermons and he healed people, but he also ate meals and made tables, right? All of us are going to dance a little bit differently, but all of us are being invited to the dance floor and are asked to bring some people along with us. In summary, the most impactful lessons are demonstrated, not just dictated. So Jesus doesn't teach us rules and logic exclusively, but he invites us to catch a rhythm of his lessons in our real lives. His desire isn't just that we show up on Sunday and get filled up with the right answers, but instead that we get his kingdom culture into our bones. Right? And this won't happen just through explanation, but through practice. Applying it to our real lives means that we learn to discern the mission that he's placing on our hearts, because that's the music we're dancing to. We choose a method to get going on learning some moves, and then we got to cultivate some mindsets that keep us trying even as we fumble through the choreography. He stands beside us and says, let's do this. To the right. To the left. Take it back now, y'all. Right? It invites us to do the same with others. So I want everybody to close your eyes for a moment. Take a deep breath and imagine Jesus standing in front of you saying, let's do this. And ask him to fill in the blank. What next step is he inviting you to take in his dance? Come, Holy Spirit. Now I want you to imagine having a conversation with a neighbor or a coworker, but now you're the one saying, let's do this. Who do you see? And what might you be inviting them into? Father, we thank you. We thank you that you are living and active among us, God, that you haven't just written us a rule book, but that you've extended a hand, an invitation to come dance, God, and we just ask that you continue to speak to your people. Tune their ears to your voice, Lord. Give them whatever is needed, whatever courage or clarity is needed in order to take the next step.